You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
Well, it's time to get busy. There is a word from God this morning. And the word is coming from two very familiar passages of Scripture. The first is in Matthew, the sixth chapter, the 25th through the 34th verse. Matthew 25 through 34. And then also Matthew, the seventh chapter, verses 7 and 8. Matthew, the seventh chapter, verses 7 and 8. Stand on your feet when you have those in honor of God's word. And I will be reading from the NIV version. Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 reads, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed not like one of these. If that is how God clothes and grass the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Mm-hmm. Matthew 7, 7 and 8 reads, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened."
All right. Amen.
For a subject on today, I would like to use shift your focus.
Amen.
Shift your focus. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you at this moment, Lord. We realize that it's preaching time, Lord. But I realize, Lord, that I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't speak. It all has to come from you, Lord. So I ask, Lord, that you would speak, that you would preach, and that you would teach your word to your people, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross so they would see none of me and all of you, Lord. It's about you getting your glory on today, Lord. So let your word go forth, Lord, and touch the hearts of your people, Lord, so that they can hide it within their heart, Lord, so they can take it with them, Lord, as they go into this dark and dying world, Lord. We ask, Lord, that the meditations of my heart, Lord, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Shift your focus. The choir sang the song, I Trust in God. On my license plate and the money I have in my pocket, it reads, In God We Trust. But we just went through a general election, and there's a lot of people that are having trust issues right about now. There are many people stressed out, worrying about what comes next. Their candidate didn't win, and they are not sure what the future holds. I believe most voters base their votes not on the candidates themselves, but how the candidate will address their grievances, their concerns, and their pain points. What are you going to do for me and my issues? We must remember that we live in a world that thrives on me, myself, and I. The candidates that people perceive as the one who is looking out for them, for their interests, is the candidate that they would trust with their vote. But we live in a divided country. Someone is bound to end up on the losing side of the election. And while they may not have voted for the candidate that had won, the reality is that a majority of their fellow citizens did. And that's democracy in action. This leaves those on the losing side worrying and stressing, wondering, will the party that won look out for our interests as well? Or will our interests be forgotten? Adding to insult, to injury, is the fact that we do not live in a true democracy. In a true democracy, every person has a vote on every decision made that affects their lives. But in our country, our form of government is a representative government, where we elect and appoint individuals to represent us and our interests and the interests of the country through governance. They make the decisions that affect our lives. When we vote for a certain candidate, we give them the power to govern as they see fit in hopes that they will represent us well. If they don't, our only recourse is to protest, maybe sue, or wait, hopefully voting them out of office at the end of their term. But regardless of who's in the White House, Congress, Supreme Court, or what party is in power, people are going to do what people are going to do. We have no control. But our comfort is in knowing whatever decision or whatever action taken will be under the sovereign control and final authority of God.
Amen.
So the world is stressing, and this is only one of the issues in their lives. But is this worry and stress just a world problem? I trust God.
All right.
But what I find, but what I have come to find out is that while I trust God, my trust in God is not perfect. Even though I know God is able, God can, God will, there are times when I worry and stress. I stress about things not because I don't think God will fix it, but often I try to fix things on my own, and I worry that the outcome will not be as I planned. Or I worry about some future event or situation. I come up with the worst case scenario, even though I have no control over the future. And even though I know the one who holds the future. Yes, self gets in the way. So I take myself through these unneeded struggles when I know I should cast all of my cares on him. And if we're being honest, I may not be the only one. But whether it's the world or believers, Worrying and stressing over life is not God's will for our lives. We need to trust God. And if we're going to trust him, we must trust him wholeheartedly.
Amen.
In everything, in every situation and circumstance, in good times and bad, regardless of what life throws our way. The word of God clearly tells us that we should not focus on our needs or necessities of life. This is not where our focus should be. Verses 25 through 27 state, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life?" Today's text is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he was addressing a great multitude of people. Most were not rich, but everyday people whose main concerns were the necessities of life. And Jesus was addressing their concerns by saying, "Don't worry." When we stress and worry, we are trying to take on a responsibility that God hasn't given us. God is the creator of life and the sustainer of life. He provides all that we need. We can't eat, drink, or clothe ourselves without his assistance from God. It is in his nature and authority to give and provide. Verses 28 through 30 state, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" God provides for the animals and the plants, and we are his most precious creation. So why would you think that he would not take care of us? Jesus is reiterating that he is the provider of all needs. And when we worry and stress, we're not putting our trust and confidence in him. Where is our faith in him? It goes on in verse 31 and 32. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Walking around worrying and stressing gives a bad example to the world when we should be the light of the world. When we worry and stress, your problems become your focus and occupies too much of your thought and time. It takes time and resources away from what's really important. And we find out what's really important in verse 33. Verse 33 states, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." When we trust God and seek his kingdom and his righteousness, our confidence grows in him, removing the doubt that causes us to worry and stress. God is saying we should shift our focus from the things of temporary value that can be used up, stolen, or destroyed to things of eternal value that can't be used up, taken away, or destroyed. The kingdom of God. And when it comes to all the things we stress about, God is saying, "I got you. Don't worry about it. Focus on what is important. Loving me with everything within you, loving your neighbor as yourself, and reaching the lost of this world with the gospel of my son, Jesus Christ." We may look at this as a request, but this is not a request, but a command from God. Making anything else your primary focus is being disobedient to the will of God. So how do we combat the urge to worry and stress? Matthew 7 and 8 provide an answer. It says, ask and will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So ask, seek, knock. We first ask through prayer. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. James 5:16. Prayer is a powerful tool because it links us directly with the source of our strength. God is available 24 hours a day, 365 days of a year. He never sleeps or slumbers. He is never busy. And even when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. God hears and answers our prayers. We have a Savior that we can communicate our needs and concerns, even though he already knows them, taking our burdens to him and leaving them with him, so we can focus on the kingdom task that he's given us. So we ask through prayer. Secondly, we seek through the word of God. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119:105. The word is our roadmap, our blueprint, our daily manual for righteous living, the answer to many of our questions. Through the word, we learn who God is. We learn his character, his ways, his commandments, his promises. We study, meditate, and memorize the word. So when we begin to worry or stress, we can recall what God has said about our situation and stand on his promise. This is how we build confidence in him. No need to worry or fear. The word is one of our greatest weapons against our enemies. It is our sword. When the enemy comes trying to sow doubt and fear, we can recite the word of God saying, we were reciting the word of God, which is our truth, and ignore the lies. The word of God is also a measuring stick we use to test all that we see and hear. There are many false teachings and conspiracy theories out there designed to drag you down a rabbit hole, draining you of your time and energy by chasing after things that have no kingdom value. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, don't worry or stress. Just leave it alone. So we ask through prayer. We seek through the word of God, and finally, we knock through praise and worship. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, Psalms 34:1. Praise and worship gets God's attention and ushers us into his presence. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in his presence is the fullness of joy. I usually like to focus on, you know, my time on one thing at a time, but often I have to multitask. But I would find it extremely hard to worship and praise while worrying and stressing at the same time. When we're in his presence, concentrating on him, we won't have time to worry or stress, but we will be living an abundant life of love, joy, and peace. If we are about his business, he would be a banner before us, opening doors and making ways out of no ways, leading and guiding our every footstep and being a hedge of protection around us. God never promised that all our days would be full of sunshine. He didn't promise that there would be no storms. In fact, he said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So yes, we are to expect adversity. There will be struggles ahead. There will be storms in our lives. But just like the disciples that were at sea and the winds were blowing and the storm was raging, they looked in the distance and saw something that looked like a ghost. But it was Jesus saying, "It is I. Do not be afraid." He will be with us every step of the way. He will calm the storm, or he will take us through the storm. Either way, we are safe in his arms. The gospel artist Greg O'Quinn penned it this way: "Wind stopped blowing, flood stopped flowing, lightning stopped flashing, breakers stopped dashing, darkness go away, cloud move away. That's what I told the storm." And this is the part I love. "Death can't shake me." "Job can't make me." "Bills can't break me." "And disease can't take me." "You can't drown me."
Thank you, Lord.
"Because my God surrounds me." That's what I told the storm.
All right.
God said he would never leave us nor forsake us.
Thank you, Jesus.
All of our needs, he will provide.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe me, just take a moment and look back over your life and remember all the times that God showed up and provided what you need. God doesn't change. The same God who did it back then is the same God who would do it right now. There may be rough times ahead. We don't know, but he knows. There may be storms on the horizon, but we can move with confidence toward the storms because our focus will not be on the storm, but our focus will be on his kingdom business. There are people in need that need our help. There are souls that need a savior. The harvest is plentiful, but we need to be harvesting. So let's take the focus off of our issues and the problems and focus on Jesus.
Yes.
Let God be God. He's got your back. And he's shown us time after time that when we're in trouble, God is our problem solver.
Well, yes, he is.
When we need protection, he is our protector.
Thank you.
When we need financial breakthrough, God owns everything. When we need healing, God is our healer. When we need peace, God is the giver of peace. When we've been hurt, God is our pain reliever. When we feel like giving up, God gives us the strength to continue on. When we're in doubt, God is our sure foundation. When we need rest from the issues of this life, God is a resting place. When we need direction, God is the way, the truth, and the light. When we need wisdom, God is the giver of wisdom. When we need restoration, God is a restorer. When we lose a loved one, God is a comforter. And when we're alone, God is with us. And if you are lost in sin and need a savior, God has already made a way for you.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is our provider, so we have nothing to worry about, stress about, or fear.
Thank you.
Let's ask, seek, and knock so we can shift our focus to what is important to God, his kingdom and his righteousness. That's the message.
Amen.
Give God praise and glory.